Raise one hand, let's sing together. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we welcome, without blemish or hindrance, the revelation of your word. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in here, in this service, in this teaching, is glorified as we're edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Genesis, I say that, Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. Maybe that's a good one. One day we start from Genesis. Beginning at Genesis. Right? Matthew's Gospel 1. We're still looking at bondage and prayer. And like I said, it's a subject believers must know. I'm grateful that I learned that. I remember one prayer meeting. Recently I went for a Rema conference. Rema Nigeria conference. I went to surprise Pastor Tokes. He didn't know I was coming, so I showed up. But somehow he said he knew by the Spirit I was coming. So he wasn't sure whether what he saw was going to happen that day. But it happened. So I showed up and I saw. So I had to wait because I had to go back for another meeting. I was waiting for a particular person. And so I had to wait. They said, well, can't I just send him a text? Because he was having a meeting somewhere when the conference was over. I said, no, that it's the kind of person that I respect. Then the fellow asked me, said, why? What can you share with me? I said, one day we went for a normal fellowship. What's a normal fellowship? We pray, we sing, then there has to be one brother like that, Brother Yari, he'll exhort. Then Pastor Dapa will teach. I must have told you the story of how I had this brother who refused to speak in tongues. All the things in Acts 2 we practice suddenly. Mighty rushing wind. Glowing tongues of fire. We practice everything, but that brother was what minute this? So he was supposed to be in the upper room or in the temple, but he was watching. I remember one day like that, Sunday evening, we had what you used to call youth Christian fellowship. So I laid hands on him, laid hands. That day I fasted to get him to speak in tongues. Because I mean, fasting was critical. So I fasted for one person to speak in tongues. So I laid hands on him. I was the one speaking in tongues. So he told me, he said, because we were age mates, he said, you can't tell me to say what has not come now. I said, how do you mean it does not come? With all my prayer. So I need one last joker. So I said, I'm taking you somewhere in Ibadan. Oh boy. If you don't speak in tongues, that's the will of God. I knew this is the place. So I took him and he traveled. No, I think he was in Ibadan. So we met. So I said, come to this fellowship. So we got there. I told Pastor Dapo the same story. And he started laughing because he couldn't remember. So I said, as we entered Central Caf, and he just sat. So I was sitting, I was just saying, Lord, Lagos to Ibadan. This guy, he has to have an encounter with you. You know, it's always good to have that kind of confidence in a ministry. I remember when I was in university, I told my campus pastor then, I said, sir, because I was a pastor outside school, but I just chose them to be in a fellowship on campus. So I told the pastor, I said, look, all these things you are trying to become, you know, we're trying to, on Sunday, we're trying to copy other fellowships. I said, you don't need all of this. I said, why not let's have a church where if you need the word of God, you are sure that any service, you hear it. And the moving of the Spirit. I said, why not let's do that? There's no point, you know, people are trying to copy, and you don't even have the money to copy those you are trying to copy. They have the money. You know, it takes a lot of money to be the rave of the moment. You don't have the money. He said, okay. I said, let's just stay with the word and the moving of the Spirit. But he listened. But that fellowship had that, they call them Victory Christian Fellowship. So we, VCF. So, and I've been hearing about VCF before I even left secondary school. Someone that told me said that these guys, they're very demonical. So what? They just be laughing all over the place. And he was doing weird things. And then I said, oh, how is laughing demonic? And the person was telling me, I'm laughing. So I'm wondering, how is it demonic? You are just laughing. But then, the person was more spiritual, so I kept quiet. So, as we got to the fellowship, and he sat at this side of the auditorium, Pastor Dapo just came in. He just came in. If you know Central Cafe, he came in by the door. He didn't say anything. He just said, that guy. And I said, Jesus. He said, come, we are not filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that was all my brother needed. He spoke in tongues. So I was telling him. So when that fellow was asking me, why do you want to wait for him? I said, so I just want to greet him. I said, I can't, he's not the kind of person I can say hello. I have to greet him, you know. And he told me, he said, you've said this story before when you met in Atlanta. I said, yes, because it means a lot to me. It was something that, you know, registered in my mind. So this day we went to pray. So they had said we should not pray at the main place. So we had to pray at, if you know the UI, that's Central California, called a basement. So we got there. Normal fellowship, hear the word, pray, just flow with the spirit and go. That's how Pastor Lagos started sharing about burdens. I said, burdens. Okay, I know about burdens, groanings. That's how we pray though. Till early the next morning. So it was not a regular meeting. I was just high praying. And you know the kind of thing that if you want to run away, you just know God will do something to you outside there. You may just, something may just happen. You know this is of God, so you, where are you going? I was waiting for him to say amen. If you know him very well, he's a very ghostly person. So he was just like this, and 1 hour. So I'm praying, I'm opening my eyes. Let him just raise his hand. No, he doesn't say glory. I said, we picked bodies. But the point was, I just saw something important about how to, and that day, let me share this part. That day, I was able to pray some things I never knew that God wanted me to pray about. You know, so even though I'd prayed before with burdens, prayed, of course, I grew up in a prayer movement, so we used to pray. But I didn't understand it until that particular night. So I knew, okay, yeah, I had the information, but now this was the experience and the information together. Maybe say I had the experience, now I had more information. I saw that there's a way you can really yield to God in prayer more than the regular. And it's something you have to learn because some things are urgent. Some things require that kind of attention. You know, that so it's something you have to learn in knowing to pray. You know, how to receive burdens in prayer. Well, it is not somebody else leading you to prayer and all. So, look at Matthew's gospel. Just run through the normal intro. But that's what informs us sharing along these lanes. A lot. Just, you know, sharing along these lanes. I remember one day. And one doesn't always get it right. But you can get it right as many times as possible. When you see someone, she was new. When Jebu did that day, went to see someone and the person saw us off. We're free. And I said to them, so-and-so is going to happen to this lady. And remember the story. And I said, we have to pray. That we're going to pray so that she does not lose her life. She just left. Now, that revelation was to pray. Sometimes some of us just use word of knowledge to shine. And as we said that, so sorry, pray. When the lady came back and said the story, she said, well, she was 2 weeks in and she thought she was gone. I laughed. I said, ask them. I told them the day we saw you last in your body. I said, this was going to happen to you. We're going to pray about it. So now, how did I know to know those things? In fact, now, this is how many years? This is about 20 years ago. So is it 20? No. 20. October 8th. October 8th. What's that thing? October 5th. Third. You know the story we're sharing. That must have been the next year. It's 2003. Yeah, so that's 19 years ago. So, now, the thing is, why was it that astute? Because of what I learned that night. So now, of course, I won't share that kind of thing because, so you won't spread fear. I'm not sure whether they prayed. You did, no? They must have been. But sometimes you just if you don't know, you're just sharing gist or fear. So I'll just say, let's just pray for that person. I won't say as much as I'll have said. Are you here? You know. So there are such things that where you can pick up. We're going to see that in a moment. Where you can pick up what to pray for on is unorthodox. It's not like the service, in the service. And next week we'll pick up how you are in a prayer group meeting and the leader of the prayer group is saying, just like Brother Kri writes all our prayer points for us. I don't know whether, it's an Arsenal fan. I would have said he got it from Chelsea, but it's fine. Because, you'll have included Chelsea prayer points. They need it now. We just trusted God for some devils, to just have some time. And the other people that worked alone. And I told someone on Saturday, I told Dr. Malaji, he's a pastor, one of the guys I said we had fellowship with, I said, we don't work again. He said that Enoch work with God. He said, essentially, like, working with God, and, alone with God and all that. And I told him, I said, you are proud. I said, Dotman, you are very proud. He said, no, man of God. I said, you see, Monday. I said, no, even though both of you are enemies, but those ones are too down. One devil needs to fight the other devil. I was watching that game, and they were both getting angry. So where were we? Okay, so Baba gives us prayer point. He will just say things like, we are praying for, he could say, we are praying for our campus churches. And that's typical. We'll just pray the Spirit. But the thing is, if you are keen in the Holy Ghost, you will know how to lay a hold on something revelatory that is very specific in that prayer group meeting. We'll see all that. So we need to learn this. And let me say something. Particularly those of you who are, and I mean, since Commission, that's what we do, you have the flock, you are over the flock. You need that sensitivity of the heart, of the spirit, into such praying. Okay, look at this. Matthew's Gospel 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. We said that this is, the intention of the author is that we go back and read the Old Testament. We must therefore see that the New Testament writers from Matthew, they gave not just a mention to the Old Testament text, they actually took the authority from the events, the stories, and the doctrine of the Old Testament. Of course, it's also woven around personalities. The more reason why we're going to study one of them today is woven around personalities. God's word is around personalities. That's why he mentions Abraham and then he mentions David. Verse 20, chapter 28. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay? So he gives us another presentation of Jesus. Of course, the first one is he's human. And then this last one, so within that story, we have what is usually called hypostatic union of God and man. So you have Jesus as man, that's the intro, and then as God. So which means that the focus of the synoptic gospel, I told you that the reason why I'm giving you this intro is that next year, January into February, we're going to do a review of the synoptic gospel together, and then the book of John. So I'm just giving you what you call a trailer. So he has here, he says, I am with you, which is God's name. So in other words, he's God. And that is not an issue, because if you read the Old Testament, you will see him as God. But what is new here is that he's now as a man. In Mark's Gospel 1, it says the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, in Matthew 1:1 is a cryptic form, or let's say a copy of Genesis 5:1. It says in the prophets, it's in the prophets, verse 2, Mark 1:2, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which I prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And we have said, make his path straight. We said that this emphasis shows you to read New Testament text backwards. So he reads it backwards. He moves from Mark. Obviously, he goes to Mark, Malachi, then to Isaiah. Isaiah definitely goes to Exodus, and Exodus to Genesis. So when you see a text, a latter text, will always point you back to the prior or former text. Mark's Gospel 16. And verse 20, 19 actually. Soon after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Right hand of God is like saying, President Biden, okay? Right hand is God. God is right hand. Right hand is an expression of God in the Old Testament. So basically what he's saying here is that Jesus is God, alright? And you said the other day that no human being sits at the right hand of God, because the right hand of God is deity. However, we are in Christ by identification with humanity. We are seated in him at the right hand of God. 20. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, establishing them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Then he uses the word Lord, Yahweh or Adonai, Old Testament expressions of who Jesus is. Luke's Gospel 1. For as much as many as taken in hand to set forth in order the kind of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as he delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Again, Luke is saying he gathered his materials from numerous people. And we know we said that before, that how did the Bible come to us? Different people, eyewitnesses, students, disciples, scholars were brought together, taking the words of the same person and then put in the format so that we can have theology from it. That's exactly what Luke has done here. Luke 24 and verse 25. O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Verse 26, Luke 24, 27, and begin at Moses and all the prophets, expound to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we see Luke doing the same thing. He goes back to the beginning. So, which means that you read the New Testament backwards, you read the Old Testament forward. That's how to study it. One doesn't negate the other. They are to be read together, Luke 24 and 45. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ear their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. The word understand there is suineme, which means to read it together. So we're meant to keep reading scriptures together. Again, the danger sometimes is to have a favorite part of the Bible. We said, nope, you shouldn't have a favorite part of the Bible. Rather, you should study the scriptures as a singular book. John's Gospel 1:1. In the beginning, everybody talks about the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the other day, we said that in English, it sounds like speech, but the word there is rather Hebrew more than it's Greek. It's the word Daba Yahweh. And Daba means something you can see, hear, and perceive. And so what it does it mean by the beginning was the word? That's most likely. Now, people think this is Genesis 1:3, and God said, no, that's not it. Genesis 3:8 gives you that measure of understanding. And in the cool of the day, he said, the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. That's the voice, call, Q-O-L, which means a sound. Or more than that, a visible, audible person. The voice of the Lord God. And we told the other day that when you study what is called the Targum, which is an interpretation of the Old Testament, is the word of the Lord God walking in the garden. The word of the Lord. So Jesus is a Genesis personality. So that's what he's saying there. In the beginning was the Word. And that's why we said in John 20:22, when it says, and he breathed on, receive you the Holy Ghost. That's John, Genesis 2:7, which means, this is the word emphasize, which means that Jesus was the one referred to as breathing into man's nostrils the breath of life. Now again, we emphasize John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, that they which testify of me, you will not come to me that you may have life. 45. So we said that Jesus is not a prediction of the Old Testament. He is a person who interacted with the persons in the Old Testament. So it's not a prediction. Now, I said the other day, and that's more reason why I said I'm giving you a foretaste into next year. How much of predictions, and this is the funny thing, there's been so much material, and I have exhumed a bit, of which read the Old Testament more as prophecies of Jesus. But further studies have found out that they were not as much as prophecies as they've been relied upon. The truth is, Jesus was not a prophecy of the Old Testament. His humanity was, yeah, but he was a very prominent actor in the Old Testament. John 5:45, think not I'm come to accuse you to the Father. There's one which accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. If you do not believe him, you don't believe me, because he wrote of me. He wrote of me is not a prediction, it's more of God working with Moses. That's why Paul will say the rock that followed them, 1 Corinthians 10:4, was Christ. The rock that followed them was Christ. So we said, and we're going to relate this to the teaching today, that there are seven ways. How do you interpret a text? You must know how to. We said there are seven ways to interpret a Bible text. We said the other day that the first thing is this. I'm just going to run through the seven, then pick on something critical. We said the first thing is that I understand that scriptures are, you know, when you read them, they were not written in chapters and verses. So it's best you read them in a paragraph form, or like we have established, as a conversation. Why did we say that? Many texts rely on earlier written texts. So therefore, a conversation has been created by the synergy of two different writers. So that means you can find Daniel and Jeremiah having a conversation over the same event. Ezra and Zechariah and Daniel and Jeremiah. Something about the temple, about rebuilding it, about Babylon, about exile, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. So you see that there's a conversation, something very common to all of them. And they are all relying on God's promise in Genesis and Exodus. So there is a conversation going on. It becomes therefore wrong for us to rely on verses. I've said this over the years, that verses are less than 1,000 years old, barely 600 years old, which means if you were born again, or you were in the church some 700 years ago, you won't have a Bible that has chapters and verses. So we said the first thing is to ensure that. Secondly, now, is to look at the grammatical structure. Which means you have the license and liberty to equally give it the proper grammatical structure. Sit down and rethink the verses, rethink the text, rethink it in today's world. We said you can even impute or include verses. Brackets, semicolon, you know, and things like inverted commas to give it clarity. I still insist that we're getting to times where we're going to have numerous translations, depending on the kind of audience, based on what they can understand. Of course, if you come from the background of people that already have the proper basic baseline knowledge of scripture. So secondly, look at the grammatical structure. Three, we said some of those words are not as English as they look. You must look at the grammar. The grammatical meaning of those words are very important. You know, very, very important. Grammatical meaning of those words are quite important. Someone was telling me this a couple of days back. They're going to hold a conference. In fact, I chatted with two people this week that are having a women's conference. And both of them said that initially when they do women's conference, they used to focus a lot on the woman, mother, wife, and that narrative. But when they read our books on Woman I Know, and what's the first one again? Woman of God, woman, but it was woman I know. That, so far one said, basically that what I'm going to focus on is that rib thing. That I'm quoting now. That rib thing. Ah! Pastor Chris, that thing really opened up. Yeah, there's no problem. So, that means not as grammar. You know, those who read rib suddenly turned Moses or all those writers into, physiologists. I don't know, why do you think the Bible busy itself with physiology? How? I wasn't concerned Bible with person matter. I didn't finish it. So, you know, what's the Bible do with that? You know, we're telling you about rib. There was no science of rib then. You know, and that, you see how that closed up a lot of information. So look at the grammar. It's not as English as you think. We said number four. What Old Testament text is the New Testament is interpreting? Again, not just that, what text is he talking about? Because most of Bible texts are interwoven. That's why we do a lot of intertextuality. Then number five, we said, what's the theology in the text that this text is referring to? Number six, we said, what is the New Testament application of this interpretation? And finally, number seven, how do we bring it into today's world? That's very critical. So what is today's application? All right. Now I want to look at something. Like I said, there is a consistent conversation. Look at Genesis 2, 1 to 3. And you need, let me start from Psalm 95. I'm going to refer to four texts together, or five, actually five. Hebrews 4, 3, Psalm 95. Now, Hebrews 4, 3 refers to Psalm 95. Of course, if today you say rest, and interestingly, the Greek uses a word we're going to look at. I love the Greek translations. I love to use the Greek. But knowing the limitation in lingua transfers, let's say transferring words and looking for what applies, sometimes you may have to juggle the two together. Now, usually when you hear rest, and that happens also today, in I've entered into my rest. I say, I've entered into my rest. And so, and people talk about rest. And they now say, you are ceased from your works. And they say, we have, someone say, I'm enjoying Jesus. You know, all those things. And that's because they think rest is when you call, I mean, if you are living in Lagos, you know what rest is. When you are done with traffic, and then they say, I have to rest. So that's like the way you read it. So the catapulses, which is the word we're going to say, and the second word, anapulses, they look like it. But since you already know the text, because Hebrews 4:3 lets you know that it has two texts in mind. Of course, the entire Hebrews 3 talks about rest. So Hebrews 4:3 now has two, it merges two texts together, Psalm 95 and verse 8. Did I say 8? Verse 11. Psalm 95, verse 11. Alright. That's what Hebrews 4:3 was clear. Do not enter into my rest. So that's Psalm 95 verse 11. So Hebrews 4:3 goes to Psalm 95 verse 11. However, Psalm 95 verse 11 is talking about Numbers 14. Numbers 14 was where, you know, God said that they will not enter. He said, what you have spoken to my ears, you perish in the wilderness. Numbers 14 and 28. Now, so listen to this. This is very important. To enter into my rest, then you have Psalm 132. Now, is the writer of Hebrews correct to connect, because the writer of Hebrews now connects Psalm 95, verse 11, to Numbers 14, and then interestingly to Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For it said, in the seventh day, God rested from his work. So, that means he connects it. Now let me show you something very important. In Psalm 95 verse 11, the word there is menucha. M-E-N-U-C-H-A-H. Psalm 95 verse 11. Which is also in Psalm 132. I want to run out of this quickly. Psalm 132. Verse 8, arise, O Lord, into thy rest thou, the ark of thy strength. Now, verse 7 of that text talks about his tabernacle. So we have menucha. Psalm 132 verse 8, also verse 14. This is my rest forever, for there will I dwell. For I have desired, there will I dwell. Menucha. We're going to come back to this text. However, Genesis 2 and verse 2. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested. Verse 3. He rested. The word there is Sabbath, which is a verb. Sabbath or Shabbat. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. It's a verb here and not a noun. Menucha means ease. Okay. So, pay good attention. Is the writer of Hebrews correct to connect the Genesis? Because Genesis is plainly Genesis. But it's, yeah, Numbers and Psalm 95 verse 11 looks okay, fine. The same here, they'll enter into my rest, in the wilderness, Psalm 95 verse 7 to 11. Is the writer of Hebrews correct to have connected the two? Oh, remember, we've done this study before. Exodus 20. Exodus 20 makes reference to Genesis 1 into Genesis 2 verse 1 to 4. And Exodus 20, in talking about the Sabbath, hope you are paying attention. We're talking about how to interpret a text. So I will lead this into our teaching on prayer. Are you here? No matter what subject I'm teaching, I always first like my audience to understand how to read the Bible, okay? So you have to know how to read the Bible. So you are not just here for Rhema word. It's good to have Rhema word. It's a Rhema word from God. It's a word from God. Can someone say it's not just a word? Say a verse, not just a verse. An alphabet, no, half an alphabet. I said, what's going on that? Can change your life. How can God give you half an alphabet? Does that make any sense? Look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay? Now, I've said it a couple of times that there was nobody in Genesis that had a special day for anything. So this is using present day in Egypt verbiage, vocabulary to interpret a spiritual reality. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Now notice this. When the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in that thou shalt not do any work. So he talks about Sabbath. He takes them back to Genesis. Genesis 11, in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Now, there's a confusion. What's the point? What is he talking about? If you are talking that we should keep the Sabbath day, so that means on the Sabbath day we should just be quiet and do nothing. No. Because as soon as he says that, he says, and the way it is, you know, I told you that it's not 10 commandments, it's 10 words, right? Huh? Are you here?
Yes,
it's 10 words. 10 words of either a sentence or a paragraph. So which means that I read it on. So how do I keep the Sabbath day? Okay, he now gives us something about creation. Then he says, honor thy father and mother. So, there's an action for the Sabbath day. Okay? He says, do not kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. So there are actions for the Sabbath. Are you here? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, which is the ongoing conversation. Like I said, just when we sang that Let There Be Light song by Pastor Wale, and I said to you that when they say Let There Be Light, knowing that the background is what? The Exodus. And the nation where he called for light was the most advanced nation in the world. It means that it's not referring to modernization. Even though modernization is good, it's of God. Alright, it's of God. Education is of God. Growth is of God. But that is not the plan. Okay? We mustn't use the vessel to replace the content. Are you here? Now watch this. So Deuteronomy chapter 5. The same text. I know we've done this over and over again. Now, this is to another generation that is where, and this is an interpretation of the same thing. Now he says, Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify the Lord thy God had commanded thee. Now, he now says in 14, don't do any work, your son, your daughters. Now he doesn't refer to Genesis 2 verse 1 to 3. In 15 he says, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, the Lord thy God brought thee out hence to a mighty hand, and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So you see that he describes their experience in Egypt as the same as a creation. Keep the Sabbath day. So Genesis 2 verse 1 to 3 is found in Exodus 2 verse 8 to 11 and found in Jeremiah 5 verse 12 to 15. So there are different words. I said one is Shabbat, cease. The other one is Menucha, ease. Now, interestingly, and watch this. In Psalm 132 verse 8, we mentioned that. And verse 14. Isaiah 11 verse 10. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. Talking about the glory of the Lord. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. I'll start from 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is Genesis, a cryptic message. Then it says, in the day the Lord shall the root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The word menucha, his rest. Then look at Isaiah 28 and 12. To whom he said, this is my rest, where you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Now, everyone who spoke of that rest, pay attention. After Deuteronomy, we're speaking about the temple or the tabernacle. Everybody. And it was not a physical one. Isaiah 66 verse 1, where is the place of my rest? So the word menucha, therefore, interprets Sabbath. Menucha means ease. Now, interestingly, I must have mentioned this, but look at Genesis 8 verse 4. After all the storm, chaos of the flood, said the ark rested in the seventh month. So that means it is the opposite of chaos. Okay? The writer of Hebrews, therefore, by connecting it, is basically saying that faith in God is an exit out of chaos. Because the reason for Genesis 2, 1 to 3 is as a solution to Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void. So rest is not inactivity. Rest is what? Rest makes chaos inactive. Rest is not inactivity. Rest is the opposite of chaos. Let's put it properly. Rest is order. Alright? That's why I said it is good. Good does not mean perfect. Good doesn't even mean sinless. Good means orderly, proper. This is the proper thing to do. Proper. This is, that is when things are done properly. You are not taking one way and two cars are facing themselves. That is tohu bohu. But when you are on your lane, that is tohu, good. So which means that what happened in Genesis is order. So rest means order. That is why it sounds like ease or well-being, perfect well-being. It means things are in order. It's a function of actions. So the writer of Hebrews uses catapulses. Hebrews 3:11, Hebrews 3:18, Hebrews 4:1, 3, 5, and 10. Hebrews 3:11, Hebrews 3:18, Hebrews 4:1, 3, 5, and 10. Notice that as soon as he's done with the conversion of rest, he moves in chapter 5 to the temple, the priesthood. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the rest place eventually is Zion, God's kingdom, Hebrews 12:32. Acts 7:49. Catapulses. This is Stephen speaking. Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house would you build me? Said the Lord. What is the place of my catapulses? Rest. Now Jesus, in the four Gospels, uses a different word. Anapulses. Or let's say the translators. Writers, Matthew 11:29, I will give you rest, anapausis. And you have it in Matthew 12:43 and Luke 11:24, referring to demons that, you know, they find a place to rest. Okay, restlessness. Interestingly, when Jesus talks about rest, he's talking about learning of him, also actions. Be meek, be gentle. So rest is not inactivity. Are we here? Rest is activity. But God's Spirit describes the earth without the Spirit as chaos, darkness. And then depicts the actions of the Spirit as rest. So we have chaos, Genesis 1-2, tohu bohu, darkness. The answer is God's rest place. So like the song says, the earth is His resting place. And His resting place is not where He is relaxed and is, you know, trying to have, what do you call it now? Trying to have, what do you call that thing? Forgotten. I didn't just say out of my head. He's trying to have leisure. No. Rest is activity. Don't forget. That is the activity of God's Spirit is His rest place. So now, I've been saying therefore that Genesis 2, 1 to 3. So hold on. This shows you the conversational method of scripture, right? You read them together. Good. Again, don't forget that the Genesis audience is the Exodus people, right? Alright. So, now, if you stop that in the middle of all that, a very critical statement, and I was reading Brother Hagee this afternoon, Heart of Prayer, and that's what I'm studying to. I'll have even brought it here, I forgot to read some portions to us. I'll just remember some I said. And he says, why was God expect man to be the one to pray in the earth? And he said, because when He made everything, He made man in His image after His likeness, and He gave him authority. In the middle of all of that, we now see a duty vested on man, Genesis 1:26-28, where he's in His image after His likeness, Selem in Hebrew, T-S-E-L-E-M. In Genesis 2:15, he's a priest. Genesis 2:21, he's a prophet. So which means that a man, therefore, now, I've said it before, God can afford, there are things God can afford to do. He can afford to, let me put it like this. Let me say one basic one that I'm going to teach maybe later in the month. Next month. He can afford to have all of us enter this earth at the same time. How many of you know that? Are you aware? He can. But He didn't. So therefore, we must find meaning in why He used this method. That we all come to the earth through somebody. So which means that He walks through relationships. That's the first thing. I've said that before. We're going to expand that a bit more. Also, He can afford to decide, or He can decide to afford both ways. To just have the gospel preached by Himself and we all hear it at once. But He doesn't do that. And, you know, I told someone, I said, if God doesn't love us, it doesn't take Him anything to wipe everybody at once. From creation till now. But He doesn't do that. That on His own is His love. He ensures that He makes us, two things He does in salvation, He makes us fit to dwell where He dwells. He makes where He dwells fit for us. So, that shows you how much of His plans He chose to walk around man. So, your prayer life is not an option. It's not an alternative. If He instructs you to pray, it's not because He couldn't do without it. It's because He chose not to do without it. If He says, Shegu, you will pray for Wale, it's not because He couldn't afford to decide to do things by Himself. Why does He want us to pray? Why? John Wesley said this in Brother Higgins' book, Heart of Prayer, he said it. I read that book every year. And he said that it appears like God wouldn't do anything except we ask Him. And if anything, you know, the fact that He became a man, He became a man. For me, we have not explored the reason why He became a man. He could have afforded to do all He did without becoming a man. So, the same way, I must know therefore that instruction to pray is very important. Now, God uses men therefore in His image after His likeness, and we saw Noah. Let me bring back that word rest. Remember the word menuka? Huh? Okay. Now it has another word that is related. It's the word nuach. N-U-A-C-H. Noah is the meaning of the word Noah. So which means that the parents, Enoch, who was his granddad, great-granddad, Enoch, who had Methuselah. Methuselah simply means, it's debatable, but I think it's not difficult to understand. When he dies, it will happen. They had Lamech. Lamech knew, in Genesis 5:29, he says, when they gave birth to Noah, he said, we'll call him Noah. Noah means rest place. He said, we'll call him Noah because through him, we're going to get comfort, Nakam. Pay attention to those words. Noah, Nakam, of the curse that the Lord put in the ground. So he related Noah's birth to Genesis 3:16 and 17. That Noah is born in the earth. Now, if you were there on Sunday, where we explained the ground, we said the ground is not your Greek farm. Right? We explained that on Sunday. You must listen to that series, Seated on High. We explained the supernatural world. So what they were talking about, the supernatural world. Now, it says Noah is God's method. So here is Noah, is God's method. Now, interestingly, which we are going to look at now, what Noah was to become. Here is Noah. Don't forget, we are looking at burdens and prayer. Why? Whose burdens am I taking in prayer? Whose burdens? This is why you must take prayer meetings seriously. I don't think that it's Bob Beckley or Sister Simi that is stressing you. You know, I used to think like that too. Ah, there's one brother like that. Every time you just say, we are still praying. I said, we can't pray for the rest of our lives now. We have to go home. Now look at these words. Genesis 5:29. He called his name Noah. So let's run through the words properly. He called his name rest place, saying, now is this just uttering or prophesying? He's speaking by the Spirit. So by the Spirit he says it's Noah, rest place. Are you here? Are you here? Okay, good. Watch this very well. He called his name rest place, saying, this shall comfort, Nakam, the Greek, the Hebrew, sorry, N-A-C-H-A-M, console, bring relief to us, consign our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. I think we looked at the word toil last week. Huh? We did now. It's as a born. We did now. Ah. We did not. We looked at Genesis 3 and this text. Did we? Stop looking at me. Did we? Yeah, we did now. Uh-huh. So look at the play of words. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was considered evil. Look at 6. It repented. Now that word repented is the same word comfort. It comforted him, Nakam, that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him in his heart. The word grieved him here is the same word toil. Again, verse 7, it repented him, but he found Noah. So what does he do? He shares his burden and expectations with who? Noah. Like that song says, he gave us his spirit so that we can reach the world. He gave us his very best. What the Spirit does, watch this. Thank God for speaking with tongues, ministering to the sick, healing the sick. But the thing is, the Spirit, I heard this from, we call her Sister Gloria, but she's 80 years old, so. She's 80. Sister Gloria Copeland. She said, when you say sister, don't say I call her sister. But that's, let's just say, the ministry name. Don't have to say Brother Higgy, that's ministry name. Brother Higgy, like 105 years old. When you say 105, I say brother. So I say, that's how we call ourselves in Christ. Crisis. Tohu bohu. Oh, there are five. Count it very well. In calendar. So she said something that, you know, she said that. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that judged the Lord with one spirit. She said, what happens that? Because we are one spirit with God, and that thing stopped with me. I heard that say it in 93. She said, 94, sorry, that God's thoughts freely flow into ours. See, I receive God's thoughts. very easily. You know, to the unbeliever, God struggles to talk to them. But to us, no. Because He gave us His Spirit. It's easier for God to walk with you because you have His Spirit. Are you here? So, God didn't give us His Spirit to fulfill our desires. He gave us His Spirit so that He can walk with us. Are you here? Alright, good. Now, so what He has done here is He transfers. God transfers His thoughts, right, to Noah. His thoughts, His expectations, He transfers them to Noah. That is why His name was found with the ark. Genesis 8:4. The ark Noah'd in the seventh month. The ark, that's what rested, is Noah'd. Can you see the connection? The ark Noah'd. But you know the word Noah is God's will. Huh? God's will for the earth. So I would say names are functions. So which means that because Noah is born of the Spirit, he will function in purpose. So God will transfer His thoughts, His emotions. You know God has emotions? His greed. He will transfer those things to man. And Jesus, you know, when Jesus was in that temple, and then he they saw Him acting, and they were wondering, this emoji, and the way He went about it, and such passion, you know, and He says, they now remember that scripture, that's John 2:17. They said, the zeal of His Father's house. And I told you many times, that word in Old Testament for, you saw anger, the anger of the Lord. We're going to look at those words later. The anger of the Lord used those many times is passion. It's translation. It's passion. So God's Spirit has passion. Has passion. And that's one of the things that, you know, when people were trying to correct excesses, you know, like Dr. Fred Price used to say back then, that I'd rather have wildfire than no fire. I would be a Christian, no passion. Like a friend of mine said to me years ago, he wrote a letter and I asked him to explain it. He used to write epistles to ourselves then. It was around December, late 93. So he said, the most bankrupt man in the world is a man who has lost his enthusiasm. He said, what's your zeal? The moment it drops, you are losing your identity. Which means that, something you were passionate about, it's not maturity. No, it's not. So Jesus said in the temple, the way He drove out the guy in the temple and He was preaching, the zeal of My Father has eaten me up. So we have Spirit-inspired temperament. Are you here? That this one is of God's Spirit. Is of God's Spirit. Now, don't interpret it as anger. No. You can see the word repent and the word isaseb and the word nakam. They mean you have. There are two things. There is man's problem, which is what is in Genesis 3:16 and 17. God has now taken it upon Himself. Okay? Cause me the ground for your sake. You shall toil. Isaseb. Or itsab. God picks that up. And He sees it. In man's spiritual condition. Then now has a nakam. He has a consolation. Which is an expectation for things to change. So those two things are going to be in the burdens to pray. The first is that you will identify. The thing about burdens to pray is that you are identifying with something. You are identifying with the problem. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Then you are also seeing the solution. So, in Noah, watch this, we find him identified with the problem, then the solution. And look at how many years, 120 years. 120 years. My spirit shall no longer serve with man, Genesis 6 and 2, 3, his days shall be 120 years. Peter calls the long suffering of our God. So when it comes to burdens and prayer, it will take on the characteristic of God's salvation plan, the way He is long-suffering. It's not the, I believe, I receive, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, let's go. No. No. It will work with God's plan in the earth. So God, let's put it like this. God, if God wants to do anything, right? Let me say this one so that you can get it clear. Because I want you, this one to sink. If God wants to do anything with you, in your life, the first thing he does is set you to pray. And before he does that, he will pass an emotion to you. You can find dissatisfaction. You know, and you find, you know, and he sets your heart in motion towards something. If he wants to do anything through you, he gets you to pray. You have to pray. It gets you to pray. So in Genesis 2:21 and 22, we saw that in creation, man and woman are priests. And also, you find this man, Adam, also Eve, are God's prophets. So he passes his burdens. Whatever he wants to do, he passes to man. He brought his solution to Abraham. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So prayer is one of those channels where we see that God uses men to fulfill his will on earth. So there is no one who walks with God that is not a man of prayer. It is not possible. Because when he wants to do anything in the earth, he sets you to pray. Look at Luke 2. You know when Jesus was taken to the temple to be circumcised, which approximately, you know, look at when he circumcised. And there are two people waiting. There was Simeon and there was Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. Both of them were doing the same thing. God wanted to do something in the earth. You know, we say Jesus came, we didn't ask him. Who told you that? If you told the Jews that they did not ask for a Messiah, they look at you that you are stupid. They were actually doing that. Luke 2 was clear that God has set people praying. And they are the two we know. Remember what Elijah thought. He said, I'm the only one. God says, come. Let me show you inside the book. You how? I know the prophets God talked about, they were not in the same church. Amen. So there's no exclusivity to these things. One time like that, Mark Harmon said something. That thing, I had headache when I read it. Headache is not of God though. I had headache immediately. I went to meet a friend. I said, Larry, he said, God told him that, Mark, you are the fourth person I'm sending to this city. Let me know whether you want to do it or not. I'll look for somebody else. I say, yeah. You know, so anytime I'm doing anything, I say, Lord, I know you have options. If I don't do, you get somebody else. You are going to look for an option. You get it? So, he was always used for men. So there are two people praying. And when he said, oh, let your servant depart in peace. One waited. From the day she lost her husband, she's a widow. And she waited. And she was praying. Look at Saul of Tarsus. What was he doing? Jesus said to Ananias, for he's praying. It's a given. If God wants to set something in motion in the earth, he starts with praying. That's why I will fight anybody. The way I almost go physical. When somebody says, it's not about prayer. Shut up, my mouth. It's actually about prayer. It's not how long. You know when they start talking like that, it's not how long. There are four categories of people that talk like that. It's not how long. Those that have retired from prayer. Some guys are collecting pension. They tell you, when I was in school, you know those stories. Two, my people. New creation, Christocentric, grace, all things are done in Christ. All guys say, I don't pray again. I just give thanks. I think I told you so last week where I went to pray to someone. He said the Father was in an oak. So I was prepared that we're going to say, Father, I thank you. For he saved this. What's this? Why didn't Jesus raise his hand and say, I thank you, Father? You know, for everything is done. And he goes to the cross. That's why people, you know, just say, and those that think that prayer is about material things. It's not about prayer. They say, look at this nation. They don't know God. They don't, and they don't pray. Don't you get it? See, that person is that. This nation, they don't know God. They don't pray, but they are developed. They don't know God. They don't pray. Leave the rest. Do you get what I'm saying? They don't know God. I called someone. I said, it was on Facebook. I said, oh, God. On campus. You used to be prayer band leader. Say, yes, I said, wait. Your problem. I don't want to say so much because if you listen to this, but he will know you know him anyway. I said, you know, you were excommunicated from that fellowship. And you have been bitter. Said, no, I've healed of all that. I've moved on. I know so everything works together for me. I said, no, nothing has worked here. Because no Christian, no Paul says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God can say that Jesus Christ. No man speaking by the Spirit can say that it's not about prayer. That is not, if there's no explanation around it, it's actually about prayer. Hallelujah. So I was saying, having a good marriage and a good home is all about prayer. Stop saying that. That's not about prayer. He said, just know how to understand a woman. So I just sit down and be understanding a woman. Do you know that kind of course? Don't sit down and be understanding a woman. Go ahead, just know how men think. Then I sit down. Say, how men think. The best is talking. How do you know? You read it from somebody. How men think. Men do this. When a man does this one. Men, that's why somebody was examining me. He said, the way I'm looking at you. So I used to think you were choleric. But call your sanguine, I said, something wrong with you. You got how many things? Yeah. How's this one? Our scriptures are clear about prayer. For some of us, when you leave church, you struggle to attend one service. But you now go and attend something business school. And they'll be talking and say, hey. And your mind is being renewed. In church, you struggle to listen to 2 hours of sermon. But that one, the whole day, they are reformatting your brain. 1 week around your brain that the ideas. Oh, wow. This is connected to my situation. So why would you say it's not about prayer? How can you even be going up? When you go for evangelism, you know, the first day, maybe you went with your pastor and it looks good. When you go out on your own, and morning to night, and you are seeing the same result. Leave me, I know God. And you are seeing the same result. Everybody you are meeting says they go to church, and you know you are not born again. And someone tells you, it's not about prayer. This war is not enough. He says, it's not about prayer. What should I now do? Just talk to them. What should I say? Just talk generally and just don't wrap them up. You know? You know that kind of person. Yeah. It's BOL. Believer on leave. It's there's no bad prayer, just God transfers. He transferred it to Noah. So imagine, somebody is born into this earth. God just changes direction, just go around the world and say, you know, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be a flood. People will be mocking him. And he's preaching. 120 years. God transfers a burden to him. Why? We are in his image. Are you following what I'm saying? So, and we are priests and kings in the air. We are prophets. God, therefore, will pass his heart, his burdens, So he will, you know, he will take what is someone else's problem. He will pass it to you. So you will begin to stand in that person's position. We'll see that as we proceed. You will feel the pain. Because there's a pain to disobedience. There's a pain to chaos. You will feel that pain, literally. It will be a spirit-led emotion. You can't find a genuine soul winner, a true pastor, who has not wept, cried, praying for the flock. It's not possible. This is why I can say that it's not possible. It's over scriptures. Can you find crying? Paul says, I'm seeing weeping. Because that weeping is not that they beat him. No. He's spirit inspired. You saw Jesus do it. You saw God literally cry out. You see it. So burdens in prayer. And where we have those emotions in the place of prayer, given to us by God's Spirit, where He brings, it's not like you are not suffering, you don't have a problem, you don't have, you know. Someone came to one prayer meeting and he said, a guy, you know, very, very daft. He saw people crying in prayer and all that. And he saw people weeping. You know what he said? He said, I can see there are so many needs in this place. He told people don't have pocket money. They don't have money to move around. They don't. So that's why they are crying. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. You know? That's how they think. Because when they organize prayer meetings, and people are crying, Jericho hour. I hope there's no program like that here. I will just say, ah, yes, he's abusing us. I'm not abusing you. It's like that. If I just say it's by the Spirit, oh. I don't know. say, it's time to cross the Jordan. It's time to cross the Jordan. There's a Jordan in your life. I don't say to walk around in Africa. You know, where you have the Jordan in your life. You look at your house, no shedding. The Jordan in my life. You know. So, watch this. He passes that burden. Look at Genesis 18. So I'm open to receive God's burdens. One of the things you know about burdens and prayer is that you find yourself, God will develop a heart of compassion in you. I mean, I remember one time we went to South Africa. That was 24 years ago. So we went to go and eat out. So we not saw a particular place. That happened like 3 times. Or 4 times now. I saw a particular place and before then, I'll tell you 2 stories. My friend Ray Matthew, we were there together and just saw this, and you could just see who were, they were having, literally having sex on the street. And what is this nonsense, you know? And my friend just got up. You know, there was just righteous indignation. I just got up. And he went towards them. And they were somewhere where I was hemp. Now I just said in one spot, I'm looking. You know, just judge of the old earth. I was like, look at this. Like I'm working for an NGO. Look at this. This is not, look how she's dressed. Oh God. He just ran. You know, the difference between both of us is, I'm acting like an analyst. He is a man of God. He ran there. Of course, he went there, preached, and he ran away. So one girl now stayed. I remember her name was Cynthia. So she came back. She says she's a Nigerian. That she there. She was 13. And you couldn't know. Wow. She just knelt down. As my friend was preaching, she just, and he just said, 13. I was still saying, that my man said, 13. You know that thing? Very judgmental. 13. Highly judgmental. You know that's a very judgmental thing. But there was someone who had a burden. So sometimes you have this, God, please, you are just criticizing. See, Yeah? Yeah? You have to, rather than prayer, complaining. There's nobody who is giving to prayer that is that murmurs. It's the opposite. Those that will pray for Nigeria will not be found complaining. Oh, 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 oh. Like a bee. From morning to night. Oh, 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 oh. And you're writing big grammar. Writing rubbish. When it's time to pray. I know there are people that come. When it's time to pray, they can't pray. Somebody came to my house there and was complaining about another brother. And said, he did this, he did that. And was giving me gist. I said, oh, fine. So I said, have you prayed? Ah, no. I said, let's go. I said, no. You are the example of the carnal Christian. So I didn't tell the person. I went to bring the person who was talking about. You didn't know. Hey, what you were saying? Eh, hey, sir. I was not trying to say, ah, but you simply lost the anointing you were using so far. Well, now I said, let's pray. Let us pray. You spoke for 30 minutes. Let's pray for someone. 30 seconds, you have said, Jesus' name, we pray. Say, Father, just thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for our brother. The brother you complained about for 30 minutes. Thank you for our brother. We give you praise and glory. We know that you perfect all that concerns him. Jesus' name. I say, oh, finish. Yes, we should just pray. Let's pray in the spirit. It appears that your mind is totally not of fruit, it's a desert. You can't! And you know, when you're in a place like Lagos and Nigeria, and you know, everybody is running upside down looking for something. Ah, then pray for one another. Your friends, your spouse, your children, you are just fine complaining. What? What? Don't come and test me off! You can't come and keep me in this country! You don't know. So all the directions to pray, we just leave. Just say, I don't even know when that someone was telling me, say we prayed and prayed. This country has not changed. Shut up your mouth! Do you know how many conversions we have had? You're a fool! I remember a town in Ikorodu where I was in the 90s. And we could barely have. Remember then we said, one single Pentecostal church there was Grace Worship Center, which I attended. The other one, the gym came later on. Okay, some of God were there, but they were orthodox. Us. We started praying. Not just us, many people. We had bodies. We meet overnight. I was telling Brother Frank's wife, he would call us, say, brethren, we have to pray. After we have come back from mission, at night, 2 a.m., say, Brother, are you sleeping? I don't know. All of us, we planted prayer. How can you now tell us that we have been praying? Nothing has happened. Shut up your mouth. People are getting born again. Millions are saved. Yes, there's government and all that, but come here, we're talking about salvation. You are the one that is praying for dollar and naira to be on the same page. You are the one that is disappointed. And God, see, okay, what do I want to say? God is not above fix. Above key, fix. There will be fixing things. You know, just say, Lord, let Naira and Dollar. Who's the man you know in that coin? I'm not praying, I'm not complaining. Hallelujah. When we pray, we are seeing people who are transferred from a kingdom of darkness, kingdom of God's light. And that's what we are looking at. We are seeing more backsliding believers restored to Christ. That's what we are talking about. Don't say that again. He transfers his burdens to us. That is why we pray. Amen. He puts it in our hearts. Look at Genesis 18. Verse 17. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? We saw it in Noah, right? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Look at that. Now, can God afford to do without man? Yes. Does he? No. Can I hide this from Abraham? So I was at Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord, counted for righteousness. We are righteous. Then we forget the responsibilities. Abraham is not in Sodom or Gomorrah. He doesn't stay there. Where he is camp. And God says, come. I want to do something somewhere. And I say, Lord, how is it my business? Can I hide this thing? Seeing that, look at verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Well, look at this. I put in my note, I said, it first of all related with his mandate. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Listen to me. You cannot fulfill God's plan for your life outside your prayer life. The Lord related, said, look, I can't hide this thing from him. Seeing that I know that in him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So when you are saying, let there be light. And you are saying, Lord, we are taking the world, we cover the earth. Since I know that's my purpose for your life, then you have to know what I want to do. I know that he will command his children and his household after him. We're going to look at all this. Shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and justice and shall bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down. Now, notice that word, I will go down, to see. It's in Genesis 11:5 and 7. It's not, I'm physically going down, and we'll see the meaning. I'll go down and see what they have done, the cry of it, and I'll not, and I will know. The mental, their first word, and all that. So, verse 23, or 22, sorry. And Abraham stood before the Lord. So Abraham already knew what the Lord wanted to do. He stood before the Lord, and then he began to pray. Peradventure, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there will be 50 righteous within the city. And he moved from 50 to 40 to 20 and to 10. Of course, till he exhausted that number. So God lays on the heart of Abraham what he wants to do. He wants Abraham to act in his capacity. And so Abraham stands and he begins to make an argument like God is arguing on behalf of men. What was Abraham's own? He had given Lord the whole place. So he puts Abraham in a position where he can stand on behalf of others, which is God's Azar, helper, responsibility, Genesis 2:18. He gives him that role. So those who are going to be given to prayer are those who are willing to give their lives for the service of others. Not some of this. Now, of course, we can pray by ourselves. We should, rather than be worried. Philippians 4:6, we pray with thanksgiving. But you see, the bulk of the priority of the prayer life is where we can stand in gap for others. And he roll things in our heart. Don't forget how, what we said earlier. Whatever God wants to do in the earth, he sets men praying. He gets you praying. There are things that in Saints Community Church, I remember one day I was saying, and Brother Kolak told me, he said, sir, what you said today, he said, it was something we prayed about. And it pointed my attention to it. We are not Saints Community Church. Because I remember, it was 2016, he told me. He said, I had forgotten. He said, 2006. We were somewhere and we prayed. We said this. So 2016, look at 10 years. We started praying. And we prayed. And we began to pray. You just got your prayer meetings don't increase. And what is still going to do is be 20 years ahead. He set you praying. You just see burdens. That churches planted today, hear me, are results of seeds of prayer sown, some of them 40 years ago. 220 years ago. Ministers we are seeing today. Some of us today, we are answering the call to God's ministry. We are doing what we are doing because of who that prayed. Who they are, we don't know. Some will know them, some we don't. And I pray. So God will pass into our hearts his own plans You just discover that your mood will change. It has nothing to do with what happened at your office. Nothing. Or happened in the country. No! Your mood will just change. The Spirit of God is urging your heart to something. It might not be something that's going to happen in 5 years, though. And it sets you praying. I remember years ago, a young boy would be praying, and the Lord said, I'm setting you to pray for, and he would mention the names, and I said, what am I going to, what am I, and you're praying about somewhere you might not even get to for the rest of your life. So I'm setting your heart to pray in this dimension. And we are praying. And we're just praying. And we're praying in the Spirit. And we're praying. And we're going to be able to yield to that in the coming days. You know, sometimes you just need to be open. With this information now, you'll be open. Well, what are you telling me? You just say, God, just put someone's picture on your mind. Sometimes I need to call the person and just pray. If I don't even know what to do, I'll start praying in the Spirit. Is that clear? Start praying in the Spirit. 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 Are you here? It's setting. He wants to do something. He gets you to do. Pray. So prayer, I'm standing in God's office of compassion. I'm standing there. I'm of the firm opinion. I heard it from Younger Cho first, but behind that, Brother Hagin had mentioned to you that when it comes to God rewarding people, thank God for soul winners. I mean, soul winners are critical. But there's a special place for those who pray for others. Their ministry usually is not pronounced. When it's happening, I'm praying, it's not those who are just making mouths. No. When you see the Lord just prompt their heart. You know all those times that He just wake you up. I just learned that. Any time that you are woken up at night, it could be anything. And thank God it won't be danger in Jesus' name. But anything, just wish. Why am I up? Start to pray in the Spirit. Are you here? Start to pray in the Spirit. Anytime. Why does it happen most of the time at night? Of course, don't be superstitious about it. Because at night, most of the time, we are calm. Well, it's an exemption. So was the time we went to do overnight browsing. You thought that was just all this free data. That's how you know that you can actually do vigil. You're using 2 o'clock. You're still talking. Maybe you just found a new boyfriend. And you're just talking. And you're talking. What are you saying? 1 hour, 2 hours. What are you talking? And you don't study. What are you even studying? Just woke up. I am praying in the Spirit. I am praying in the Spirit. There are times like that, you just pump your heart, take a stroll. You are yielding to something. And begin to pray in the Spirit. And begin to pray in the Spirit. And begin to pray in the Spirit. That and then God will tell you. You know, sometimes we don't tell you why He doesn't tell us all these things immediately. Because sometimes we are not so mature. There are things He wants you to pray about, not discuss. I recall something that He showed me years ago. And this is the funny thing. I've not said this big detail. I've said this before. So I called people in the ministry and I told them this is what I saw. And they all said, okay. So I remember I had to call Pastor Lai and I said to her, when India, and I said, I was just telling her, you know that thing you look like, your damsel, you want to tell her everything that God has told you. So she becomes Delilah, you are Samson. So I'm saying, she just said, I can't hear you. I said, eh. She didn't say, I can't hear anything you're saying. I increased my volume. She said, no, I can't even hear you again. I knew it was a warning. I called those guys that were in that meeting. I said, that thing I told you, were about 10. I said, you didn't. They said, which meeting? I said, as soon as the person said, I said, no, that was not what you said. I knew God was giving a warning. So I called Protos. This is the part I've never said before. I said, Protos, I got to a point, he said, stop. He just said, stop. He said, things like this, keep quiet. And just pray about it. This was 24 years ago. Just pray about it. I said, okay, thank you. I mean, everybody just forgot. So there are times like that, he'll give you a prayer body. He's not saying, hey, that's how God woke me up. Do you know that? What have we told you? I've become an apostle to the nations. So you want to feel like God is using you. You know, overnight, the Lord just, this one. You can't give this one anything. This one, if it's Jesus. It's in the devil, he was saying that, you guys, this is what you can teach now. When I begin to teach, they will be astonished at my doctrine. They will die in time. You keep quiet. And for you to know, he had a culture of prayer. As soon as he got to John the Baptist's place, he was praying. That means we can readily say that for the 30 years of his life, when, of course, maybe when he was 8, 9, 10, he lived a life of prayer. Just praying. Just praying. Learn to pray out the will of God. Learn to pray. And you see, develop your prayer life beyond just praying for physical, material circumstances. Thank God for that. Of course, you should, like I said, you don't get involved in worry. Just trust God in prayer. Believe, you know, that he's a helper for us in time of need. Yeah. But you see, we have a higher cause in this life. Are you there? Learn to yield to him in prayer. There are times, let me say this. There are times, I know as I'm saying this, you'll see this encounter tonight, tomorrow. God just say, guys, let's just go talk to you and say, you know, next week, I want you to fast and pray. And you just hear him say it. And that's it. Say, two videos next week. Three. And he won't tell you why. And you first, you just pray for, you are praying for Fortress Camp meeting, you are praying for Christ Camp meeting, and that's fine. And he will, I don't want to use the word smuggle, but he will put some things along the line. And you are praying. Just like the leading of the Spirit, the written word, and then the leadings of the Spirit. We have the known things we are praying for. We now have the things that will be revealed to us to pray about. I need to pray. And you set yourself praying. I've known that. Ask your pastor, I tell them that the way God leads me there. When I go to do something as a ministry, and I say it, oftentimes, it will not be 25 years. I say, we just cover that. We just know what we are going to pray about. And you fine tune them as we go along. This is why some people start churches or ministries. And then the process, God will let them see some difficulties. And rather than pray, they are complaining. I don't know, we should change our venue, we should change our meeting day, they will even change God. We should change, rather than pray, they are complaining. They think it's they get equipment. They think, you know, that the way it is, you know, it's the people here will not hear the word. And they begin to say all those nonsense. It's not praying. So he will make you see those hard circumstances. How you just start church and things, and he will deepen your prayer. Let me tell you something. As a minister, nothing deepens your prayer life like bad circumstances. You will pray. You will pray. The impossible situations. So you see yourself. He has us complaining. He says, before you know it, someone said that one day, I complained about the flock. I said, so the whole flock is bad. And you, pastor. So you want ready-made flock. They are already cut into small chops. And they have you. You are not ready for this thing. You are not ready. Because the heavier the task, the greater the burden to pray. God laid the burden of a people on one man. So say one man. Say one man. You can be that one man. So when you see yourself, you are hearing doctrines around materialism. You can't yield to God's spirit in this kind of direction. He says about, you know, what the church needs now? The church needs to take over government. I wish some of our Christian leaders were pastors on campus. I remember one guy like that. They brought the guy to 2 years home. I don't want to mention it because he's a politician today. He said the guy was a man of God on campus. He was great for student union. So that's why TJ brought one big jar of oil. Say, what you prophesy? I prophesy, I do. We laid hands. He said, and you said for. And the government shall be upon your shoulder. And he said, we said those things and laid hands. Prophesy upon prophecy. I was telling brother, we were laughing. I think he also prophesied. He did not, admit it in our conversation. But I'm going to ask him tonight, you prophesied. We spoke. Our brother got there. It was bad. And you, when God didn't tell you to do something, and you are doing it, you know, everybody just pocketed their failed prophecy. The guy used to be a village evangelism person. That's what he was. You know? The next thing we saw, he had joined the Kegite Club. Today is not in anything. So when we look at, I mean, those are the kind of things you know that Jesus is going to ask you. No matter when. And that prophecy that you gave, whose name did you call? I said, it's peer pressure, peer pressure. It's peer pressure. He said, you go forth. The guy only went forth. You know? So when you have those things in your head, but when you know that our power is to influence things and undo principalities, power, might, and dominion, and we can take care of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, we can handle those things and change the atmosphere of a place. This is John Wesley. He went to a town. Town was full of drunkards, addicts, and he prayed. The ministry of John Wesley and Charles Finney had such results, remarkable results. And something I was doing about them, I said, Lord, we have to set our feet like this. These are guys that will pray and take over a town. It's not only one person, the whole town. 100 years after, I was told, someone went there and wanted to buy liquor. They said, John Wesley was here 100 years ago, and there has been no person, nobody drink liquor in this place. What impact? Though there are towns today that used to be invested in idol worship, they are full of churches. Of course, they still have traditional stuff, but there are now few churches. But back then, they used to kill missionaries. But the man Ayo Babalola prayed. And he prayed. They said, the kind of man, when let's pray over food. The man was just with 3 hours. And he's in visions and revelations. And those kind of results. Such men should be emulated. You can't see things like the Jim Christian Church of God, I think it's because the man just, somebody shouts at you. You go and try it. Put Hosanna in your own self. Someone said, this man is 80 and he's... We all told them one time, he said, Baba, he said, fasting. He said, you can't take fasting from me and prayer. You can't take it. How can you take? One doctor was telling me, hey, you have to stop fasting. I said, oh God, you have to change your own knowledge. He said, no, I can't change it. Tell me to modify it. You can't do it, oh. It's the devil that is using you. I can't change this, sir. This was how many years ago? 27 years ago. I can't change it, oh. Say, you have to look at you as a Christian. I was looking at grammar. Okay. So we'll change. 25 years. I said, we have to change it. Don't change it. The man told him, I have to fast. Say, you are 80. He said, it doesn't matter. So I'm finishing strong. He said, when I want to eat, I eat well. When I want to fast, I fast well. So whenever I want to really eat, I eat everything. When I want to fast, I ignore everything. It's not about using it. I sit down, so you said, complaining. Someone sat down, I was talking to a cell leader here, and said, talking. I said, I don't think you're here to be a cell leader. She said, I'm ready, I'm really willing. I said, I'm not talking about this. You have complained like this. You have no job to do. You go and fast. You go and pray. God is ruining the body. That thing you are complaining about is a burden. It ought to be a burden. You should be speaking in other tongues. Groaning. Are you here? When you are groaning and you are birthing nations, there are people today you are prayed for and they are still into drugs. But mark it. a few years time, they'll be pastors. See, you see it. Stop saying that. Continue praying. Even children. Oh, you are parents. So your children are doing something. Keep praying. After some prayers, I said, look, you will pray. Yeah, we are praying. You can't be praying and be saying what you're saying. You have to pray. So burdens are closer, are rolled in our hearts. And I'm telling you, in the next couple of days, starting from tonight, God will speak to you about times in the coming days where you will just be praying. And you will just be praying. And you just, so sometimes we think this is about just a danger. Yes, it's not about danger, but it's not about danger. It's about God seeing His plan and rolling it into your heart to pray. Because we're in that moment and that season of our lives where He's directing the course of our thinking to pray. I'm telling you, revelation will stay in your heart. Pray. You pray. When you start seeing some strange results in evangelism, God is rolling burdens of prayer in your heart. Don't say, what do I do? Pray. First of all, prayer. Intercessions. Supplications. Giving of thanks. 1 Timothy 2:1. Be made for home. Let's pray in tongues.